Ari, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No worries. So how do you think the horror film industry has changed in the last decade?
A lot of the kind of boom in horror production that we've been seeing recently, a lot of it can come down to new digital film technologies. So, you know, since now digital's pretty much replaced celluloid as a primary kind of technology. So, you know, people are able to make films on lower budgets of high quality, and the low budget has always kind of been something that has had a kind of place with horror films. You know, horror films going back to like Roger Corman produced films in the 50s and 60s through the kind of Italian horror films of the 70s and 80s into like this recent boom, I would say, in Australian horror film since Wolf Creek. A lot of that has been about, you know, how do you make a low budget film, stick a bunch of people in a house, set a few cameras up and have them kill each other.
Mm. It also seems as though there's been a bit of a cultural shift in Hollywood towards putting more time towards horror films. Do you think that's something that's happened recently?
I guess, as happens with all genres, the current age is an age of kind of media and film literacy generally. So people are much more savvy about the media that they're consuming. And part of that is you get films like you mentioned Get Out, or like the recent Halloween, so the kind of remake of the original Halloween from last year. Suspiria, which came out last year, which was my favourite film of last year, was a remake of the 70s Italian horror film Suspiria by the director who did Call Me By Your Name. So, you know, he's a very serious kind of esteemed art house director, and he remade Suspiria. So I guess people become more aware of genre, they become more media literate, so the genre films that get produced, like horror or action or whatever, become kind of more self-conscious, more aware of the generic parameters, and begin to try to do, directors begin to try to do more kind of interesting stuff with them, I suppose, like a film like Get Out or Suspiria.
Yeah, and what would you say are some common misconceptions about the genre?
I guess there's a general kind of distaste amongst many in the population for any kind of formulaic films, because people associate formula with unoriginality, and our kind of culture celebrates the cult of the individual and the cult of the kind of individual artist, you know, has since the late 19th century or even earlier perhaps, but that's kind of amplified now. So when you're talking about formula films, people are often like, oh, that's just a formulaic film. But that doesn't kind of acknowledge that the very pleasure of genre lies in its repetition. So why do we go and see a romantic comedy? We go and see a romantic comedy because we know that Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston, when they bump into each other in the supermarket in the opening scene, are going to end up together at the end. And we watch that film, we feel that pleasure, we feel happy about that. And that's a genuine kind of pleasure, and that's one of the great kind of filmic pleasures, I think, is in genre. And it's a real kind of shame if people aren't able to appreciate genre films. At the same time, for a genre film to be effective, it has to be a little bit different. So, you know, Under Siege, for example, what is that? It's Die Hard on a boat. If it's just Die Hard in a building, people would be like, why would I see that? It's just the same film. But it's Die Hard on a boat, so it's a little bit different, but it still kind of, you know, picks it up a bit. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And why do you think so many viewers love silly horror movies?
So the kind of comedic horror films that combine kind of comedy, and I think because there's nothing... Actually think about the visceral response people have to horror films. So you see something and you're shocked and you scream. You also have a really visceral response to comedy, where you see something and you're kind of shocked and you laugh. So I don't think that there's necessarily, even though they appear to be kind of opposites, I don't think that there's anything necessarily that separate in terms of that kind of response. And I think people often laugh, you know, in kind of horrific moments and at horror. So that
yeah,
comedy
well, it can be a natural sort of response.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. So I think there's a similarity, consonance between them.
But there's also all those movies like Sharknado and The Meg and stuff, which play on that really well. Yeah. Why do you think they're so popular at the moment?
Again, I think it has to be to do with people becoming more self-conscious about the media they consume. So something like Sharknado, which I found relentlessly tedious because it was so stupid. But I know you love that.
It's
that,
amazing.
That whole series.
The tedium is amazing.
But so, you know, people, that film is just such an outrageous premise and such a stupid premise that people would go and watch that and it would be kind of like funny, I suppose, to see how it plays out. The Meg, I think, is a better film because that has that stupid element. But to me, it was also just a rad film about a massive shark. You know, and it's kind of like Jaws is a big shark, but the Meg is like, I don't know, 50 times bigger than Jaws or whatever. And to me, like being in the water with a shark, like how can a film be bad if it's about, you know, being in the ocean with a shark?
Mm.
I haven't seen a bad one.
Do you think the Meg kind of bridges that gap between the silly horror movies and the smart ones that, you know, give you reactions like the one yep. you just described?
Definitely. It totally does. And that is probably one of the interesting things about it is how it kind of like beautifully straddles that line between the kind of unwatchably absurd, where you just feel like, why are you kind of watching this, and actually quite a kind of thrilling, you know, thrilling film in terms of the moments.
Yeah, and I know that you're quite all over the Australian horror scene at the moment. What's happening there? I haven't seen any Australian horror movies except Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek was 2005, and since kind of Wolf Creek, you know, a film that was an independent film but made quite a lot of money, I guess there's been a bit of a resurgence of people making horror films in Australia. I mean, I think there was a real boom between 1975 and about 1985, where there was a bunch of, you know, horror films made. It was part of like tax concessions that were being offered to people making films. So like a lot of businessmen and stuff were just investing in films, and they made a lot of action films, a lot of horror films, a lot of general kind of low budget stuff. But even, you know, directors like Peter Weir, you know, one of Australia's most kind of prestigious directors, his early film, The Cars That Ate Paris, which is one of my favorite horror films, you know, he's 1974, and then that makes it to Cannes. So, you know, also I think something about Australia, the isolation of Australia, the convict origins, the, you know, anxiety around kind of the genocide of the indigenous inhabitants. There are all of these kinds of factors too that just have meant that not only in film, but generally in kind of culture, so in literature and art, there has been a rich kind of gothic and kind of horror tradition in Australia, you know, going back to the early kind of days, you know, For the Term of His Natural Life by Marcus Clarke, for example, could be read as a kind of gothic novel.
Mm.
So I think Australia kind of lends itself to that. And that generally taps into what I would say is the biggest reason that people watch horror films generally, a very kind of, I don't know, let's say primal reason, and that is, you know, René Girard, the French kind of writer, he talks about how all culture is born and based in rituals of sacrifice. So all culture begins with sacrifice, prehistoric. What is a horror film but the repetition, the public kind of repetition for the viewer of the sacrifice of these different figures and these different types? So we watch these people being murdered on screen in, say, the slasher film. And there is this kind of like bonding of the audience as we come together and in a sense celebrate these rituals of sacrifice. And that was, I thought, what was so brilliant about the horror film The Cabin in the Woods, directed by Drew Goddard, was that film, The Cabin in the Woods, actually stages at a kind of explicit thematic level this notion of horror as being about rituals of sacrifice.
No, that's really interesting. And just finally, horror may not be for everyone. What film would you recommend for someone trying to get into the horror scene?
Oh, that's a difficult question, because, you know, do they want something that's scary? Do they want something that's kind of comical? A few of the kind of key, I guess, genre points come to mind. Like I think about something like Dario Argento's Suspiria from the 1970s, which is, you know, a very lurid, violent Italian horror film, but brilliant. And then, you know, even something which I'm a little less positive about these days, but that I loved when I was about 15, and that's Wes Craven's Scream, the first Scream film, which I think, you know, offers a kind of knowing, canny entry into the genre. And then maybe more recently, something like Get Out. More recently, if you call that a horror film, I guess it's a kind of horror film.
Or, I would recommend Get Out to anyone.
Yeah, Get Out was good, good fun. And then the recent Halloween, I thought was an amazing film. That was one of my favorite films from last year. So that's an intense, serious, you know, heavy kind of film.
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting point, and it's not a genre that I thought I'd be speaking about that much, but it's back, and it looks like it's staying. Ari, thank you so much for joining us here on Drive today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.